Something I think everybody was glued to last night, Donegal, was Novak Djokovic and the US Open. He has made headlines all around the world. He was disqualified from the US Open. It was a sensational moment, really. He was defaulted after hitting a line judge with the ball. And Stephen Higgins from Cross Court View joins us now. Stephen, I'm actually not sure what line Stephen is on, so I'm going to put a few of them up. Stephen, watching that, you mean, you're the expert. What do you think happened?
Well, I think there'll be books written about Novak Djokovic's pandemic year, and probably not in the way that you would have expected. It's amazing thinking back of the times when people probably wondered, I wonder what athletes think about these things, and I'd love to have more access, etc., and what their opinions are, and maybe they'd regret that now. It's just absolutely astonishing. I mean, who could have predicted? Before the match, he was playing Pablo Carreño Busta, who's a really good player, but wasn't expected to trouble him at all. In the Prime video coverage, Jim Courier said the best way he could win is hope for a miracle. And lo and behold, a miracle arrived on Arthur Ashe Court in the fate. And it was in the shape of Novak Djokovic beating himself. And it turned in the space of 2 minutes, probably, where Djokovic had comfortably held serve, went 5-4 up, missed some breakpoint opportunities in the next game. Then his first kind of sign of anger, where he lashed the ball against the side board. Then into his next game, love 30 down, falls over onto his shoulder, has to get treatment, comes back, loses the game with an ill-timed drop shot. And then, as everyone has seen the clip around the world, he clipped the ball to the back, didn't look where it was going, and it struck the lineswoman in the throat.
Well, let's hear that moment, Stephen.
He's broken Novak Djokovic. It was a tame drop shot.
Stephen, like, moments like that, I suppose, you can think careless, but like, he's a professional athlete. We see the strength of his serve, the strength that he can hit the ball at. Like, he has a duty of care to the people he shares the court with, doesn't he?
Yeah, and the problem for Novak is that he has had close shaves in this regard before. Clearly, anyone who's played tennis or any sport to any level has kicked a ball or a racket or a bat or anything away in frustration. But the point is, you're a professional and there are stipulations and rules for your conduct. The problem for Djokovic is, in the past, in 2016 at the French Open, he was quite lucky where, in frustration, he threw his racket back behind him, didn't look where it was going, and it narrowly missed a linesperson. If it had struck the guy, he would have been defaulted from the 2016 French Open. And then also at the ATP Finals that year, he almost the same thing as what happened at the US Open, where he hit the ball towards the crowd, it hit off a bollard. If it had been a few inches higher and hit someone in the stands, he's in a lot of trouble. So this is a situation that was always possible given the way he has reacted in anger in the past.
Well, lots of the famous people in tennis have been coming out given their reaction. John McEnroe warned Djokovic that he'll face up to being the bad guy now for the rest of his career. And Kevin Palmer, journalist, spoke to Boris Becker about Djokovic.
Well, journalists have always been critical about him. You guys seem to love Roger more than Novak. This is a he did a mistake. And people will talk about it for a while. He's not perfect, no. Nobody's perfect. He paid the highest price. He was correctly defaulted. No doubt about that. But life goes on. He didn't kill anybody. You know, he pays a hefty financial penalty for it. You know, and move on. He's gonna grow up. He's gonna mature, and he's gonna learn from his mistake. I think the tennis world on the men's side is divided between Federer fans and Nadal fans. And there comes Djokovic, somebody that crashes the party. And many things he gets criticized about, you would laugh normally. And sure, today, you know, this new word called shitstorm, he's getting one today. And last night he broke the rule and very correctly he was defaulted from the mistake. He apologized. First of all, to the woman, he apologized to the USTA, he apologized to his fellow players. So he took responsibility for a mistake, but nobody's perfect. You know, Roger double falls, Rafa double falls, and sometimes they don't get booed. So he gets sometimes the wrong end of the stick. But there are clear rules. In a way, he got lucky because this woman could have been seriously hurt. I mean, you know, he hits it hard out into the eye, you know, God knows. So the official sit-to-wipe thing, it's a clear rule. He did hit the ball out just a couple of points before. He was frustrated. The emotion was getting to the best of him. You know, it was done unintentionally, but, you know, both of us know you're emotional on the court.
And that was Boris Becker speaking to journalist Kevin Palmer today. Look, there's a lot to take away from that, Stephen, but he did kind of dwell a lot on how unpopular that Boris is and or that Djokovic is. And when you look even just at the last few months and everything that's going on with COVID and his anti-vax ramblings as well, and just his general attitude, it's really easy to understand why he's so unpopular.
Yeah, I think actually, and of course, Boris was Novak's coach for a number of years, particularly through those matches against Roger Federer at, say, the US Open, where it seemed like 22,500 fans were supporting his opponent and he was mentally strong enough to make it through. I would have thought probably at the start of the year that the treatment of him was quite unfair. It's kind of this atmosphere that's exacerbated by social media of people having these deities as athletes that, you know, they support queens and kings and all this kind of stuff. And so they're on Federer's side or Nadal's side or Serena's side, and they're not on Djokovic's side. But the pandemic has been really extraordinary for just revealing a side of his personality that's strange, really, in terms of he's had Instagram chats with guys talking about how he could send positive vibes to water to clean it. And there has been obviously the talk about vaccines and whether he would take one. And there was the concern early on the pandemic that if there was a vaccine and the players are mandated to take it, would the world number one refuse to take it and then have to be barred from tournaments? And then it's just gone on obviously with the players union, which there's obviously a lot to be said for the players union. But is the timing correct in the middle of a pandemic when most of the tour has been cancelled and they're just trying to get back on their feet? I think one of the things, just in comparison, comparing him to, say, Nadal and Federer, his great rivals, is there has always been a feeling of he yearns to be loved in the same way that they do. And one thing I've noticed probably watching him over the years is when you see Nadal or Federer pump themselves up towards the crowd, you know, with their fist or whatever sort of cheer, they're kind of doing it for themselves more than anything else. They're kind of like, when Nadal G's himself up, you could imagine him on a court with no one there, building himself up. When Djokovic does that, a lot of the time he's kind of flailing his arms, wanting the crowd to appreciate the great shot that he's done. And so it's almost like a different character side, where it's those guys are like Nadal and Federer are doing it for themselves, it's to build themselves up, whereas Djokovic is kind of, I want you to see what I've done and give me the appreciation I deserve.
Stephen, just on that, even taking responsibility, and we know he sent out a message on Instagram, but should he have arrived into the media conference afterwards and front up and just, if you know, if the guy puts his hands up and says he's sorry, not having that opportunity to even be questioned about it was disappointing.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair comparison with Denis Shapovalov, who's still in the competition, a wonderfully exciting Canadian player. When he was 17 in the Davis Cup, at the end of the match, he hit the ball away in anger, didn't look where he was going. Unfortunately, of all things, it struck the umpire in the chair, in the eye, causing injury. And he was obviously defaulted from tournaments, and it was a massive scandal. I think he was 17 at the time or so. He went, did his press, was incredibly apologetic, as you'd expect. You know, had no issues with kind of saying sorry, trying to explain himself, took his punishment. And so, yeah, when you see the world number one, who clearly had done something wrong and had broken the rules, and he stayed out in the court arguing his case, and then he just vanished from Flushing Meadows afterwards without going to the press and just saying, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, it won't happen again, I've learned from this experience. And then he released a statement later on in Instagram a few hours later. But I just think for the example for the game, as the ambassador for the sport, it's a lot easier for him and it's a lot better for everyone else if he just said, look, I was out of line, I made a mistake, I'm very sorry, and I'll definitely learn from this experience.
So who is the favourite now then, Stephen?
Well, this is where the flip side of Djokovic going out is that I think in the first time since 2004 we'll have quarterfinals in the men's singles without Nadal, Djokovic or Federer. So it's a completely open game, a completely open season for those who are left. In the top half, which was Djokovic's section, which was the one that everyone wanted to avoid because you'd have to face him, it's going to be the finalist from that section is going to be someone between Pablo Carreño Busta, who obviously was the victor there, Denis Shapovalov, Borna Coric or Alexander Zverev. And in the bottom half, it's probably the most experienced player there who would be the favourite. The two of them would be Daniil Medvedev, last year's finalist, who took Nadal to five sets at the US Open, and Dominic Thiem, who's obviously been a three-time finalist at the US Open, or three-time finalist at Grand Slams. That said, he is playing in the match of the day by miles against Félix Auger-Aliassime. They've never played, so you don't know what to expect. But the one thing is, they're both brilliant shot makers, incredible athletes. So that could be the match of the tournament.
Okay, Stephen Higgins of Across Court View, thanks so much for joining us, and we will check in with you later on in the week. Now we're going to take a...